Avoiding attraction. When I see and interact with a specific female, my mind scatters away while I am trying to stay mindful. Would it be okay to disregard what I see and only meditate on what I hear when talking to her? Or would that be cheating and not facing the problem? Yes, sometimes you will want to just focus on hearing instead. One of the parts of the comprehensive practice taught in the Sabhasava Sutta is Samvara, which means the guarding of one's faculties, a very important part of one's practice. The Sabhasava Sutta says that in order to support your practice of seeing things as they are, you have to guard your senses. Of course, seeing does not mean looking with the eyes. Rather, it means directly understanding all experiences as they are. When you are unable to see certain experiences as they are, and they cause immediate reaction, this can be a great hindrance in the practice, so you should always guard your senses, letting in only those things that you are now able to deal with one by one, in order to observe them clearly as they are. With the example of beauty, it is not reasonable to expect that someone should overcome their attachment to beauty while being surrounded by many beautiful things. They are much more likely to just give up the practice as they will be overwhelmed by desire. You have to be able to guard your senses, at least until you get to the point that you are able to deal with every situation mindfully. The monk Ananda asked the Buddha, "What should we do in regards to women?" And the Buddha said, "The best thing is not to see them." Ananda then asked, "Well, what should we do if we have to see women?" And the Buddha said, "Well, then do not talk to them." Then Ananda asked, "Well, what if we have to talk to them?" The Buddha said, "Then be very, very mindful." Some people might take the teaching on guarding the senses the wrong way and think that it teaches you to ignore experiences and not investigate them. In truth, it simply takes into account the practical reality, the impossibility of coming to see things as they are and letting things be as they are when you are surrounded by things that immediately and violently trigger partiality of any sort. In order to begin to understand the things that trigger partiality, first, you have to remove yourself from them. You have to begin from an empty slate and then face them one by one, to the extent that you are able to observe them without being carried away. You have to think like a scientist and appreciate how much more difficult it is to understand reality than to just live it normally. In order to develop understanding, we have to observe experiences one by one. We cannot let everything in and expect to be able to understand it all clearly as it is. This sounds like that is the sort of thing you are trying to grasp. The best thing to do from a practical standpoint is to run away from this woman and not have any contact with her. That's most likely quite difficult. So if you do not run away and break contact with her, you should use your situation as a laboratory. Do not go out of your way to see her, nor go out of your way to avoid her. Try to see her in moderation, and slowly develop mindfulness based on the experiences you have while around her. Once you have set it in your mind that this is a meditation object for me, then eventually, with practice, every time you see the object of your desire, you will be able to be mindful. When you sit down on a meditation mat, immediately your mind says, "Now I am meditating." And you are on a meditation mat and your legs and hands are in a special posture. You are sitting in a special way, so you think, "This is meditation." On the other hand, when we do something like eating, we think, "This is eating," and so we lose our mindfulness because we don't think of it as meditation. If we thought of eating as a meditation practice, we would eat the whole meal mindfully. In some Zen Buddhist centers, they practice eating in a very specific manner, and as a result, they can eat very mindfully. So you can take your relationship with this woman as being a meditation object, and every time you see her, it is a meditation session. The other thing I would recommend is to not be too hard on yourself. You will fail sometimes, and you will fall into liking things and people, and you may wind up being totally blown away and unmindful. But that is just another experience for you to learn from. If you react to your failures in a negative way, you will learn nothing from them. There is the saying, we learn from our mistakes, but we do not always learn from our mistakes. We learn from our mistakes when we actually have the presence of mind to understand what went wrong and accept that we have made a mistake objectively without reaction. We do not learn anything from mistakes if we get angry and upset about them. At the time when you like this woman and are attracted to her beauty, you should not be saying to yourself, "Oh, I am such an evil, nasty person. This is sinful and bad." It is important to accept when you make mistakes and to see the experience of making mistakes as it is. Preparing yourself is one thing, but you must acknowledge when you do feel desire. You cannot stop yourself from experiencing it. Western society is so caught up with the sin of sexuality and things like masturbation. Masturbation, for example, is an issue that people feel utterly wretched about. They feel terribly guilty as though they have committed some cardinal sin by doing something that they actually like doing. Deep down, their heart says, this is good, this is pleasant. So how can you lie to yourself in that way? If you still enjoy it, how can you say it is bad? This is what has led many Hindu gurus to lead their Western students in the other direction. There was even a Zen book that talked about a teacher who taught people to find liberation through sexuality. Some people even teach tantric Buddhism. There are Hindu gurus who believe that Westerners are so sexually repressed that they put them together in a room and tell them to have sexual orgies. We do not do this because it is reacting. It is reacting to things as being positive. Reacting to things as being negative is no good, but reacting to things as being positive is also not good, as it also leads to the cultivation of habitual tendencies that will create further expectation, clinging, craving, and disappointment, depression, sadness, and dissatisfaction when you're not able to obtain the objects of your desire. What we practice is called the middle way, neither torturing ourselves nor indulging in sensual pleasure. Once you have experienced lust and desire, you have experienced it. You cannot change that in retrospect, and yet that is what people often try to do, get upset about it, and then get the idea that they are repressing it. You cannot actually repress feelings, you just react to them negatively, which prevents completely any learning that might have come from the experience. At the same time, when you are attracted to someone, it can be the case where she is married and you feel guilty because she is untouchable or something. It could be that you are married or you are in a relationship with someone else, but you have to accept that you have these feelings. The Buddha said, "There is no fire like lust." You cannot say to a great raging fire, "Let it only stay here." Similarly, you cannot say, "Let me only have lust for my wife or my girlfriend and not have lust for this person or that person." Where there is the potential for lust to arise, it will arise and it is uncontrollable. Lust and desire in general are very dangerous. They are habit-forming and lead only to greater and greater emotions of the same type, which is uncontrollable and cannot be limited in any way, shape, or form to one specific set of experiences. Lust moves from object to object, just like how fire burns from the grass to the bushes to the trees. Whatever is combustible will trigger fire. This is why men cheat on their wives and women cheat on their husbands. It is why we steal and manipulate others. Even why we go to war. It is something that you cannot contain. You have to accept that fact and work to undo the habits. That is really the only way to deal with this. Start by limiting your interaction with this person to what is natural. When you know that she is there, you might not want to look in the beginning. You might just avert your eyes when you are not talking to her. Just be mindful of the yearning and agony of unrequited affection. The yearning and agony that comes from desire is actually an intense amount of suffering. It can ruin both your physical and mental health. It is quite valid practice to avoid and limit your contact. If something is dangerous, where you know you just cannot control yourself, then you should avoid that thing. Mental corruptions that should be removed by avoidance are called vinodana pahatava, and those which are to be removed by guarding are called samvara pahatava.